And if you think back to the first one of these symposia we did a couple of weeks ago on breast cancer, we were talking about adjuvant therapy. In breast cancer, you have somebody who has 8 or 9 positive nodes, they have an 80, 90% chance of recurrence. And that's kind of what a typical patient with ovarian cancer is looking at. And so now the question, Dave, is can we identify patients where we can lower that risk or delay the patient having disease progression? So let's just walk through some of the trials that were done to see whether or not you could get better outcomes. And the first one, I guess it was about, let me think, a year and a half ago, not that long ago, a year and a half ago is when everything changed. That's not a long time ago. So what did they look at in this trial, Dave, the SOLO-1 study?
So this was really the first trial in the upfront setting, looking at patients with BRCA mutations. Now, germline BRCA mutations and somatic BRCA patients were allowed, but only a couple patients with somatic mutations went on because we weren't testing the tissues that often. It was a 2-1.
Did you just clarify, though, what the I meant to ask this before. You mentioned germline and somatic mutation. Can you clarify what the difference is?
So when we're talking about the genes or germline, this is what Shannon referred to earlier, when we're really identifying those patients who have a genetic predisposition. But we found out there's probably as many patients, or at least half as many patients, that don't have the BRCA mutation in their genes, but actually have them in the tissue or somatic mutations. And so that's why it's so important, in my opinion, that not only do we test the genes, but we also send the tissue off for somatic or tissue testing, also looking at mutations within there. So in SOLO-1, we took all those patients, though, all except for a couple, had germline, and we randomized them 2-1. In almost all these trials, the randomization was 2-1, placebo-controlled prospective trial. And looked at patients who had treatment then for 2 years on SOLO-1. In those patients, we saw truly miraculous results and improvement in patients who received the PARP, really changing the bar and leading to approval of olaparib in the frontline maintenance setting for patients with BRCA mutations.
So, and we knew that, and actually the chance of recurring was decreased 70%, which is a gigantic drop in breast cancer. A lot of the therapies we've talked about, maybe it'll drop at 20, 30% at a time. This is a huge drop in these particular patients. Now, Shannon, when you look at newly diagnosed patients with ovarian cancer, what fraction have these either BRCA, germline, or somatic, or other mutations that make them very sensitive to PARP inhibitors?
We know that approximately 15 to 20% probably have the germline BRCA mutation, and then there's additionally maybe another 7 to 10% that have a somatic BRCA mutation. We're still learning about a lot of the other pathway members in that homologous recombination deficiency pathway. It doesn't seem that they're all created equal. There are certain like RAD51D, RAD51C, which may provide a benefit from PARP. And then there are others that might not, that even though they have that aberration, they don't get the benefit from PARP. So it's probably approaching about 30, maybe 40% of the patient population that will have a benefit.
So if you see how this rolled out over the last year and a half, first you have the SOLO-1 study that really focused on the people that you would think would be most sensitive, and you saw this fantastic benefit. But then let's just briefly take a look at the other trials that came after SOLO-1, and actually three of them were presented all at once last October in Europe at the ESMO meeting. First you had the PRIMA trial. And the awesome thing about PRIMA is they took everybody. We just talked about SOLO. That was just BRCA germline, so a small fraction. They took everybody, gave them the PARP inhibitor and niraparib, and overall, they benefited. Now, we can argue about whether there were patients in there who didn't benefit, but clearly, as a group, you saw PARP inhibitor, and we'll talk now, it's approved regardless of mutation status. So that was the other thing. The other thing, Paula, that I thought was interesting about this, and we were chatting about this before, is that in this trial, the PARP inhibitor, niraparib, was given for 3 years. And whereas in the olaparib study, it was given for 2 years. Just kind of curious, we'll talk later on about side effects and getting people through the therapy, Paula. But any comments on trying to get somebody through 3 versus 2 years of a PARP inhibitor?
Well, I think originally, because olaparib has been used the longest, the initial clinical trials were until progression. So unless they had unwanted toxicities, you gave that until patients progressed. And then I think with all the research coming out and showing that patients are at risk for MDS or AML, they reevaluated and said, let's just give this for 2 years. So I think with niraparib, we may find that we haven't been using it as long, but that may change whether or not they pull back and say 2 years is enough.
It will be interesting because these approvals are just like a couple weeks ago. So people are just, nobody's even really started, I think, to use niraparib. But in any event, we're going to go to a case in a second, but just to put up a couple more trials, just kind of see what it is that people have been talking about. So this is a huge study. Now it opened up PARP inhibitors to everybody. People with BRCA, they did better, but even people without it did well. This is another incredible study where I mentioned bevacizumab that had come into the treatment of some patients with ovarian cancer up front. Here they combined olaparib, the PARP inhibitor, and Bev. You saw a much better result than Bev alone. Now there's another approval again a couple weeks ago. So now you have the option of giving olaparib and bevacizumab, another option. And finally, at that same meeting, there was a trial presented where another PARP inhibitor, veliparib, and this was different. It was actually given with the chemotherapy. The other ones were given afterwards. So they gave it with it, and then they gave it as maintenance. And these studies all showed benefit. It's kind of hard to compare between them. But we're going to kind of go through the way all this incredible research now is translating into patient care. And here's the two approvals, niraparib, April 29th, and then May 28th, which I guess was fairly recently. Losing track of the days of the week, the days, et cetera, here like everybody else.
Yeah.